Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Brian Basilico. Brian is a man after my own heart. Not only does he love Mac computers, he is a fellow self-proclaimed geek who is part techie, part creative, and part marketing consultant. He has been running media and marketing businesses for almost 30 years. Currently, he works with small businesses to create complete marketing campaigns both on and offline. He is also a consultant for Fortune 500 corporations in marketing and electronic media and an adjunct professor at two community colleges and Aurora University. And did I mention that he was also a musician? Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Brian.
Hi, Karma. How are you today?
I am just dandy. Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little about your journey to success in public speaking?
Absolutely. Well, I have been a musician for so many years that being in front of crowds is something that just really comes natural. And as I started to develop some unique concepts on how to use online marketing for small businesses and using social media for small to large businesses, I've taken all of that and combined it into a handful of different things, both as the adjunct professor teaching classes and then also giving individual speeches to small and large groups around the country. So it's really been a maturation of taking the being on stage part and taking this new concept, or relatively new concept, and kind of combining it into something that people really like to hear about. So that's really been the goal and the growth through all of this.
Now, being a musician and performing in front of an audience is very different from standing up in front of an audience and talking about something. So I would be interested in hearing what your thoughts on this topic are. Do you believe that public speaking is a learned skill or something you're born being able to do, and how have you come to that conclusion?
I think it's a combination of both. Being a musician really gives you a training that you really don't get in a lot of different ways. And that is when you're playing for an audience of people, especially in the way that I do it now with a two-man acoustic band, you've really got to learn to read the audience and get a sense of what kind of music do they want. Do they want softer tunes? Do they want more up-tempo tunes that they can dance to? What kind of songs are they reacting to? And that's kind of the same approach that I use with public speaking, is I try to read the audience when I get to a location and figure out what's their skill level. How much technology can I talk about, or do I really have to simplify it to keep them engaged the whole time? So when I'm giving a talk about using LinkedIn to find jobs, there's a completely different sense than talking to small business owners about using Facebook or email marketing or things like that. And you really got to get a good sense of who your audience is technologically wise, education wise. There's a whole bunch of things. So reading that audience is really part of what makes this public speaking thing a learned skill, but it's also a little bit of natural ability, too, to be able to obviously have a decent voice and a decent presence and be funny and have good timing. And so, yeah, there's some things that can be learned, but I believe some of it is just a, you know, God-given talent as well.
Right. Now, imagine that you're a public speaking superhero. What do you believe are your main superpowers?
My main superpower is mind reading. I can actually read the minds of people that are out there and get a sense of they need to know these topics and how do I expand on some and compress others. So it's that mind reading ability that really gives me the capability to make sure my audience is getting the topic and walks away with something of value.
Now, is that a skill that you basically translated from your musician experience into public speaking?
I believe so. I believe it's something that has grown within me as being in front of audiences has given me the ability to kind of read the sense of what's going on, it definitely gives me the ability to communicate with an audience in a way that they want to be communicated to. And that's part of marketing 101. When you're trying to sell a product to somebody, you really need to know who your audience is and how they like to be communicated to. What can you say to them that's going to be a hot button topic or get them to act on the specific thing that you're trying to do? I feel in public speaking, it's the same thing. You've really got to have a sense of who your audience is and talk to them in a way that makes them feel like you're not selling them, that you're educating them and giving something of value to them throughout this process.
Right. Now, obviously, not everyone's going to be able to have your musician background as they go into public speaking. So what advice would you give someone if they want to develop that particular superpower, the ability to read an audience as well?
What I suggest that people do is constantly ask for feedback. Any time that you have an opportunity to talk to somebody after you give a presentation, gather some feedback from people that you trust, but also gather feedback from people that you've never met. Try to get a sense of what it is that they felt was working really well or what was not working really well for them. Don't take any of this personally. You have to go into it with a very open mind. Don't become defensive if somebody says, well, you said too much. That's something for you to learn. You just got to figure out a way to communicate to that audience and be able to garner that feedback and then put that in the back of your mind. And as you start to do more speeches, you'll find ways of changing the flow as you go along based on what you've learned from people.
Right. And I would imagine that there's always an amount of weighing the feedback, because some feedback is actually about you and your presentation, and other feedback is really about the person giving the feedback.
Exactly.
Because some people just, you know, they're just not in a good space. So.
Yes, or they're expecting something that you just can't give them. When
right.
you give speeches on Twitter, you can only give a speech on Twitter. You can't put the people in front of a computer and show them what to do. When I'm giving a speech on Facebook, you show samples. But people want to know, well, how do I code that or how do I do that? So you can't be everything to everybody. You have to look at the audience as a whole and try to give them the best that you can under the circumstances. So teaching a physical class with computers in front of people is vastly different. And somebody may walk into a speech expecting that kind of experience when it's near impossible to do.
Right.
So, but you still should look to that, because that feedback can maybe guide you towards, hey, maybe I should be doing a hands-on class, or I should be offering a workbook, or I should be providing them with some different materials that maybe I didn't do instead of just handouts, maybe some question and answer sheets. So the whole experience has to be, what do they expect and are they getting what they want? And a successful speaker walks away feeling like, okay, I've done a good job, but I've also learned something here, because you're constantly going to grow and evaluate as you go along. And again, there's so many different audiences that you talk to. I've given speeches to farm implement dealers. Some of them are super techie, and some of them can barely use a phone. And one guy held up his cell phone. He says, this thing makes phone calls. That's all I want it to do. And when you're talking about social media and things of that nature, you got to realize that there's a vast majority of people now that have smartphones, that have iPhones and Droids and all different kinds of ones that are out there. They're utilizing this. But you have to talk to the vast majority of people. I can't make that person happy if they're not willing to know that they're behind the curve on technology. So they don't get it, but I have to look at the big picture of that audience and say the 75 to 80 or 90% of people here do get that combination of smartphone technology. So I have to make sure that I don't diss the person who doesn't get it, but also not undersell or undereducate the people that do get it. So there's a little balance in there.
Yeah, and I mean, even on older technologies like blogging, I mean, I've been involved in blogging for so long that it's become almost second nature for me, and yet I'm constantly bumping into people that I'm teaching in a class or giving a teleseminar that have not the first clue how to even post an article on a blog. You have to kind of keep that balance.
And take that even a step further. There's people that just don't get the need for a blog.
That's
they don't understand that putting out a blog, which I do on a weekly basis, just like you, is I constantly put a blog out there, and then I put that blog into an email newsletter, and I put it into Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, so that blog is circulated to thousands of people at any given time. What most people don't get is you're there to educate, not to sell. You're there to create awareness, and a lot of people say, well, I don't answer my email. This is not something that I want to do. Well, unfortunately, it's not about you. That was exactly my last blog was just about I'm addicted to connections, and the connections being getting out and talking to people and connecting with them online, but also understanding the technology that your audience is using, not the technology that you're comfortable with.
Oh, most definitely. and especially in business, because I teach some marketing classes, and that's probably one of the toughest sections is when I start saying, okay, you need to focus on a target market. You need to understand your target market. And they're like, but I don't do that. Well, it's not about you.
Right.
I mean, your marketing is not about your business. It's about the people you're trying to get to do business with your business.
Exactly. And that,
yeah.
It is. It's very difficult. Some people they're stuck in the old world. They still want to use yellow pages. And this is the way that it's always worked, and I still want to use yellow pages, and only 14% of the people ever go to a yellow page anymore. And convincing them that using things like Google AdWords and search engine optimization, most people even develop websites that are overly complicated, way overly complicated,
yeah.
When all they're trying to do is generate a phone call and an email, and you got 500 pages, and
yeah.
People aren't spending the time to read all that. They basically blow their mind to go to a guy who's got his phone number across the top and call him. So
yeah.
They miss the point that the old way of doing things is changing before us, and you have to kind of adapt. And if you're not one of those people that can adapt, then you need to find somebody to help you get there.
Right.
And that's one of the biggest challenges in all of this. And that is also a challenge in speaking, is trying to convince people that this stuff is not going away.
Well, given that you tend to talk on technology, I bet you often come up with not necessarily a hostile audience, but an audience that is a bit of a challenge. They're not getting with the program right up front, so you actually have to do some convincing before you actually do the teaching.
Yes.
How do you do that?
I try to do that by showing examples of success and how people are utilizing this so they get it. Not only things that I've done, but things that other companies have done, like using a Twitter campaign to drive people to sign up for an email newsletter that ends up turning into creating a complete different marketing campaign than they could do otherwise. So there was a company in Chicago that was using Twitter to get people to post a tweet, and the person that got the most retweets in a day got a certificate for an iPhone for $200. Well, what they did is they got thousands and thousands and thousands of names put into an email database, and once you're signed in there, then of course you're getting their messages and coupons. So you're using the new technology to do things that you would currently do.
Right.
Trying to get people to join up on your email news list or your email campaigns. So by doing that is saying this is not necessarily something that you have to become an expert in, but there are ways of utilizing it that will help you do what you currently do better. That's the way that I talk them through it, is show them the successes. You know, most people say, well, I've got a Facebook page. No, you don't have a Facebook landing page. There's a big difference. And having a landing page is supposed to drive people to your website, and your website is supposed to drive people back to your landing page, become your fan, and this kind of reciprocal marketing between these two technologies works a little different than the way your web page was probably originally designed, so you're going to have to look at that too. There are so many concepts sometimes that you have to really kind of break them down into very small chunks to get people to understand that this is plan A, this is plan B, and this is plan C, and this is how they all work together.
Right, and especially when you're dealing with more complex or technological topics, that breaking it down into little pieces makes it much more easy to communicate that information.
It does. And that's why sometimes you just have to kind of pare down to one topic and then leave it at that, because everybody
yeah.
wants to know about all of them. I do a two-hour class at Waubonsie Community College called Marketing in the 21st Century. It's almost impossible to squeeze in everything in 2 hours because we're talking about all of the basics. And people walk away from there feeling like they get a good broad brush overview, but they want to go deeper on each topic, but I don't have time to talk about email marketing, setting up a web page, doing Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, doing blogging, doing webcasting or podcasting or YouTubes or all those things. You can only just introduce them to this vast array of topics and say they all integrate together and some are right for you and some are not.
Right. In fact, I teach a class on creating a simple, easy business plan, and part of that class I touch on various strategies that you can use, and I list them out, and there'll always be someone in the audience who says, oh, I want to know more about that, and I'm like, well, that's bigger than the confines of what the time I have, but I can touch on it.
Right. There's so much to learn, and the stuff is changing so fast. I always tell everybody when I'm talking about Facebook is when you sign in today, it's going to be different than it was tomorrow. You just don't know it yet.
Very true. And Facebook's constantly changing.
Yes. Everything is. Facebook
yeah,
is, LinkedIn
true.
Is. Twitter is, blogging is, WordPress 3.0 doing some really incredible things. You just don't have time to download all the templates and see all the cool things it can do until you finally run across it and say, oh, that's neat.
Yeah, definitely. Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Brian, for sharing your unique insights and expertise into public speaking with us today on Public Speaking Superpowers.
Thank you.
This is the end of today's session of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on his picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.